Tom Weber on NPR News. Finally this hour, it's apple season in Minnesota. And don't you forget it. If you haven't taken the family apple picking yet, still a few good weeks to do so. I highly recommend it. In addition to being a great place to grow apples, you might also know Minnesota is a leading place to create them. New varieties of apples are always being developed at the University of Minnesota. In fact, lovers of Honeycrisps or Sweet Tango or Zestar, there's a new apple created at the U that will make its debut next year as well. It's called First Kiss. I love that name. David Bedford is a senior research fellow at the U's Horticulture Research Center. Dave, your job is to invent apples, isn't it?
Yes, yes. It's quite an exciting, fun job, I'll say.
And he brought some into the studio. And by the way, we're streaming this segment on Facebook Live right now. If you want to see us eat some apples as well, find the page for this show. Is this on NPR News or the NPR News with Tom Weber? NPR News with Tom Weber. If you search for the show page on Facebook, search for NPR News with Tom Weber. We're streaming live. You can post a question there or you can call us at 1-800-242-2828. 651-227-6000. You hear the rustling in the background because David brought some apples here. What did you bring us here today?
Well, I brought a few things new and old.
Uh-huh.
We go as far back as actually the grandparent of Honeycrisp. I brought a very unique, quirky one called Frostbite.
Frostbite?
Yep. And then a few things in between. And then right up to the very newest one that you mentioned, First Kiss.
Well, I think we should try the First Kiss. So this isn't out yet, right?
That's right. I mean, officially we've released it. And for example, it takes us usually 20 to 30 years to develop a variety.
It takes you 20 years to develop a variety?
That's the fast version.
So you started making First Kiss back in the 90s or the 80s?
It's actually been a little over 20 years now since we first did the breeding. But for example, let's just go back to Honeycrisp. That was 31 years from breeding to release.
When was it released?
1991. So that cross was made in 1960. So, you know, sometimes we think these apples are new, and they are if you haven't had them before.
Sure.
But Honeycrisp, for example, would be, let's see, I think it's 57 years old now. So it's a lifetime.
It's just that it's only been available to us.
That's right.
Since 91, the wider public.
Yeah.
So First Kiss is ready to go next year, then.
Well, that's right.
In terms of on the shelves, right?
That's right. We've introduced it, which, you know, that took about 20 years to develop. But we introduce it to the growers. Then it takes 2 to 3 to 4 years for them to plant enough trees and those trees to come into bearing. So next year will kind of be the beginning of that bearing and selling cycle.
Who came up with First Kiss? Is that your name?
Oh, well, it's a group of us that work together. And I can tell you it's gotten harder and harder to come up with these names. I always say it's easier to name a child than an apple. there's no one that tells you you can't have that child's name. There's plenty of people that tell you what you can't do with apple names because we trademark them.
Oh, you trademark. So you can't name them Seven like you'd name a kid, like
no.
That Seinfeld episode.
No. You know, when I was here last about 3 years ago, we were just thinking about releasing this apple that became First Kiss,
uh-huh.
And you and I talked about some naming and how that might go. And as I recall, you suggested Weber's Delight.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to tell you that didn't work out.
I'm frustrated with that, and I'm here to let you know how mad I am. But
well,
I think we'll let it go for now.
Very good.
Can I try it? Did you bring
yes,
it?
This is yes, the first yes, yes.
So this is what I... So did I try this 3 years ago then?
You
too?
Would have.
I
it
would
was
have.
Just a number at that point. It was MN55.
Oh, MN50. I remember it well.
Yes.
Okay, so if you're watching on Facebook Live, go to NPR News with Tom Weber, the Facebook page there. David is here in studio, Dave Bedford from the U. He's cutting it up. He brought the knife. He brought it all. And now he's handing me half of the apple here on a napkin and everything.
Now, let me warn you just before, just so you have some sense
of
what to expect. First of all, with our breeding program, in our breeding program, we emphasize two characteristics, texture and flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't excel in one of those two characteristics, they get thrown away. So this MN55 or First Kiss actually has that texture that Honeycrisp has.
Okay.
Explosively coarse. But I know you're anxious to get it in your mouth.
I really am. It smells great.
But I just want to warn you, it's a tart apple.
Oh.
So just beware. Sometimes when you start with a tart one first, it's a little shocking. So,
because I'm holding it, you know, and it feels like, oh, yeah, it's that firm apple like a Honeycrisp.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking in my mind, oh, it's going to be a sweet apple.
Yeah.
That's why you warned me.
Yes, exactly. Now, people that like tart apples, Harrelson lovers and that sort, will love this apple.
All right, here we
Those
go.
Those that like a super sweet one, so we'll see where you fall.
I'll say it's still crispy. Like, it's still a crisp bite.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I like it.
Good.
I like the tart apple. I guess I can't – I don't have the palate to know, like, can I necessarily tell the difference between tart and sweet? I know other people – you know, everyone's palate is different, and so some people it's going to be, like, really tart. It's really going to grab you.
Yeah.
I get why you're saying it's tart. I grab that, but it's not that different.
Well, good.
In my
good.
Brain, from what it would be a sweeter apple like Sweet Tango or
yeah. Well, or that's good. That's we'd like to think these all have a niche, and a good apple. The texture should really sell an apple. First of all, I mean, to me, the worst thing that I can eat, and I have to taste 500 to 600 a day, is a mealy soft apple. So, you know, we've gotten over that hurdle, I think, with this one.
No, you taste 500 apples a day.
Yeah, that's an occupational hazard, I guess you'd say.
But you don't eat the whole thing.
No, it's really like wine tasting, except we don't hold our little pinky finger in the air when we eat them. We take a bite, spit it out. I have to swallow the juice, so... I go home at the end of the day pretty tired of apples, but not full.
But you wake up ready to go the next day.
Yeah, it fortunately, the mouth recovers well.
And, you know, I had a guy at an event come up to me, and he bemoaned one of the older types. He says, what's with the deal with all these new, this Honeycrisp and the Sweet Tango? They're too sweet. They're too crunchy. Give me an old, would it be Harrelson or Harrison?
Yeah, probably
kind
Harrelson.
Of a more old fashioned.
Yeah.
He says, give me a Harrelson any day of the week. do you get, I don't know. I don't want to call that man curmudgeonly, but do you get the old timer, reminiscing, or are you really on a new thing here and everyone loves the new apples?
Well, I mean, there is some amount of that. I guess I'd liken it to classic cars. You know, there's always somebody that just loves the old 57 Chevys, you know, and they were great and they have great memories of them. But really, when it comes to day-to-day driving, you know, you probably enjoy the modern conveniences of a newer car. And so, those old apples were great in their time. I think we've made improvements, and the consumers seem to think so, too. The apples like Honeycrisp, Sweet Tango, and now First Kiss really are popular with consumers, which means, ultimately, we hope, they're going to buy more apples and less candy bars and things that aren't so good for you.
So when you go home after eating 500 apples, do you just like tear into a Snickers bar and just go for it?
Actually, what helps is salty. Salty
interesting.
Foods. Yeah. So somehow that seems to counteract. A little milk helps too, and a little baking soda toothpaste seems to neutralize it all. So I have my little regime that kind of works.
If you're watching on Facebook Live, you can leave a question or a comment there as well. Like Judy and Judy says, I'm so jealous that you're getting to eat this new apple. And so, Judy, I appreciate the comment there. You can call us at 1-800-242-2828 as well. We're here with David Bedford from the U, who eats apples all day. That's his job. Simon is wondering, are you going to let us grow this one? He's talking about the First Kiss in Wisconsin, or is this another Sweet Tango? And he's referring to some of the legalities around where you can grow these. First of all, explain that for someone who doesn't know what Simon's talking about, growing it in Wisconsin or not.
Yes. Okay. Well, Sweet Tango was the first of our releases. By the way, we've released 27 apples in 108 years. Our program started 108 years ago, so we've released 27 of them. And Sweet Tango was one of those 27, the first of those 27, that we've released to commercial growers only. And so it was a need to sort of control the flow of the apples, and there were some legal issues. So Sweet Tango is only available to growers in Minnesota who are commercially growing apples, commercial orchards. And so that excluded Wisconsin. And so, yes, I'm afraid for the answer to his question, Men 55 or Rave does fall under that same concept.
What's Rave? Wait, you said Rave.
Okay. Well, that brings up an interesting point we didn't talk about, that this variety, Men 55, actually has two trademark names. And it's the first time we've done that. And so Men 55, when it's grown locally and sold locally, will be known as First Kiss. And when it's grown nationally, we've licensed a national group to grow it and market it. It will be known as Rave.
Why?
So, well,
it's the same exact apple.
It's
right?
The same exact apple.
It's like
apple.
A cougar and a mountain lion. It's the same animal.
Yep. That's right. Well, what we learned from the Honeycrisp experience is that, of course, Minnesota orchards starting growing Honeycrisp first, mm-hmm. and they do it very well. This is the hometown kid,
sure.
So no question it does well here. But now, probably 95% of the apples of Honeycrisp that would come into the market to the stores around here would come from out of state, and most notably Washington. So when the consumer goes to the store, they really have no way of knowing, is this a local apple? Mm. Is this a Washington apple? And there is a difference in flavor. I mean, the Minnesota Honeycrisp is really the best. It's suited to our climate. So how do we get past that problem? We can't put a little sticker on every apple that says, this is the Minnesota-grown one.
Yeah.
So the idea was, let's give it a different name. We'll market it so you'll always know when you get a First Kiss, it was locally grown.
And so therefore, the only place First Kiss will even be available is a Minnesota store. Do
That's
I have
right.
that right?
Yeah. Technically, growers could sell it outside of Minnesota, but they really are going to be selling it mostly here.
So is it possible I will see in the store then someday both a First Kiss and a Rave next to each other?
It's possible, although most of the local fruit gets sold at the orchards, at the farmers markets.
Right.
So, yes, but that's
it's possible. And so basically the thing is to say, listen, First Kiss and Rave, they're the same thing.
Yeah.
But the Rave was grown outside of Minnesota or outside the region.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
It's so interesting you bring that up, especially about Honeycrisp, because over at the fair, when we had our news quiz that Kathy Werzer hosts, R.T. Ryback was one of the guests, and he went off on this tirade about Honeycrisps.
A good one, I hope?
Well, I think you'll support it. He loves the Honeycrisp, but uh-huh. he hates Honeycrisps that are grown in Washington.
Yeah. Okay.
He really hates them. And he says, this is a Minnesota apple. It should only be grown here. So RT, if you're listening, take note of what's happening with the next variety.
Yes.
But I don't think I've ever noticed that, how different it is between a Washington-grown Honeycrisp and a Minnesota-grown.
Yeah. You might not. And especially if mostly what you have is Washington, you just sort of think, well, that's the norm. And it's not that all Washington Honeycrisp are bad. But there's just, let's say, a little more flexibility in how they're picked and how they do. So you probably need to go to a local orchard once or twice a year just to reset your standard of.
Well, we have a lot of Minnesota love here for David Benford, because Wendy on Facebook Live here is saying that Washington Honeycrisp apples are terrible in comparison. So I think we're letting the Minnesota flag fly as I eat. So I'm eating a First Crisp or First Kiss.
First Kiss.
And I'm still eating it. So that's why you hear me chewing in the background. With David Bedford. We're taking your calls and questions as well at 1-800-242-2828. Tis the season for sure. I hope you've been out to an apple orchard, and if not, you have a few weeks left to go. Let's go to Jeff, who's in Redwood Falls. Hi, Jeff. What's your question?
Yeah, I was wondering if you have any cooking or pie-type apples in the
pipeline.
We still like making, homemade apple pie, and especially sauce, and a lot of them will cook down differently.
And for those on Facebook Live, I don't think you could hear the question. It was whether there are any new cooking or pie apples in the pipeline.
Well, we're not breeding specifically for that purpose, but it turns out that most of the varieties that we're developing are actually dual purpose. And so it's pretty hard to introduce an apple nowadays that would be only for pies or sauce. There's not enough market for it. So we're really looking at dual purpose apples. And I think, as your caller mentioned, there's a whole range of how apples cook down. It might eat very firmly in your mouth, but when it's heated and cooked, it becomes quite soft. So there's always the question of, well, what's the perfect type?
Right.
Do you want it to cook down or not? So we haven't gone down that avenue specifically, but I'd have to say that all the varieties that we're working on and releasing really are dual purpose.
You have any more? to share with me today?
Yes, what do you got? Another type?
Another type, yeah. Okay. I'm enjoying the first kiss. We're talking with David Bedford, and I'm eating on the radio, so I don't think that's a problem. What are you opening up there? What are you cooking right there?
This is going to be Sweet Tango.
Oh, yeah.
And so this
Minnesota
was
grown, right?
Minnesota grown.
All
only.
Right. So Archie Ryback won't send me a hateful email. All right.
So, this is going to be still a crisp apple, maybe not as juicy. I think First Kiss is maybe the juiciest of all, but I think you'll get a little more sugar and acid in this one.
This is a sweeter
apple. Also, it's tart, but that sugar just gives you this kind of complexity to it. To me, it's one of my favorite when it's that for flavor.
In 2006, the Minnesota legislature proclaimed the Honeycrisp the official state fruit.
As
I'm sure you know.
Yes.
Did we jump the gun on that?
Well,
if you keep developing new apples, or was that a good historic marker to say that Honeycrisp was our guy?
I think it was a good start. It's still, these apples I'm giving you now have all descended from Honeycrisp. So we still owe a debt of gratitude.
So everything like Zestar and Sweet Tango.
Zestar was different, but the two that we're talking about now are two biggest hits. So Sweet Tango was a cross between Honeycrisp and Zestar.
Okay.
And the first one I gave you, First Kiss, was a cross between Honeycrisp and a variety called Monarch from Arkansas.
So let's ask a weird question. Is it possible that if you keep crossbreeding that you have an apple version of inbreeding, that it actually becomes a negative thing?
It can happen, yeah. Yeah. If we inbreed too much, we'll get trees that don't grow well and that sort of thing. But it really doesn't affect the outcome. We would just discard those. The advantage of inbreeding is that you concentrate the good characteristics. But occasionally you concentrate some bad ones. We throw those away. To get to any of these apples that we're talking about right now, we have to go through 10,000 trees to find one that's good enough to release.
Oh, so my goodness.
We've got 20 to 30 years and one in 10,000. So most
Where are those trees growing?
That's out by the Arboretum, out by Chanhassen. We at the Horticultural Research Center, and we've been there since 1908. So looking and looking and finding a few. As I said, we found 27 in those years. But I think our last five or six have really been the ones, especially if we look at Honeycrisp was the first one to go international from our breeding program.
Question on Facebook Live here, Melissa, can you find Minnesota-grown apples in January?
It's a little tougher in January. Most of the Minnesota-grown fruit gets sold pretty much within 2 to 3 months. So January is sort of pushing limit. I'd say it'd be pretty hard then.
Let's go to Laura on the phone here in St. Paul. Hi, Laura. What's your question?
Hi. I'm originally from upstate New York where the Macintosh is king.
Yeah.
And I wonder why you can't get a good Mac in Minnesota.
Yeah, that is the king of the Northeast, isn't it? And it's an ancient variety. I mean, very old, let's say. It's an old Canadian variety from, the 1700s, 1800s. It really does best, I would think, in that climate. That's part of it. You have just the right conditions up there, just as Honeycrisp does best in our conditions. And I think otherwise, too, it's the taste have sort of changed. People are looking a little more for a crisper apple. I know Macintosh, when it's grown correctly and harvested right, has a nice firm crispness to it. But I don't know. People and taste kind of change, and hard to say exactly why that's happened, but I think that's part of it.
So with climate change, is it possible that in a generation the Honeycrisp will taste best if it's grown like in Winnipeg?
Well, you might be right. It's a good question. As a matter of fact, this newest apple I gave you, the First Kiss, we used a parent from Arkansas. And Arkansas is not a major apple growing state. But we used this variety because it had more heat tolerance. So we were looking to expand the range that our apples could be adapted to. But we might be having to expand the range of the ones we grow here even. So,
where does Minnesota rank? Are we number one? Or?
Well, we're number one in good quality. That's a self-appointed title. Actually, I think we're about 18th or so in apple production. So we're small. We don't have large wholesale production. But really, most of our local production is sold directly to the mm-hmm. consumer. So
where do we rank in terms of creating and inventing? Are we one of the top?
We are, yeah. There are only three breeding programs, apple breeding programs, in the U.S. So we're one of those three, and depending how you rank our outcomes, we're certainly in the top three.
How much does the U get every year from royalties? Is it millions?
Millions over the years. No, I don't know. And it comes and goes. For example, we receive no royalties from Honeycrisp in the U.S. anymore.
Oh.
That patent has expired, as these things do. And now Sweet Tango is generating some income, and mm-hmm. we hope that First Kiss and Rave will do the same.
How much do you skim off the top, David? You're going to go down to Hawaii here?
I wish. It doesn't quite work that way, but nice idea.
Well, David Bedford, thanks again for coming. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I always love eating the apples, and you brought a few extra, so I think we're going to share them with the staff here. One of the perks of working at NPR, I guess.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you being here. David Bedford, Senior Research Fellow at the U's Horticulture Research Center. If you're on Facebook Live, thank you very much for watching as well. That's on our Facebook page for the show. Search for NPR News with Tom Weber. And if you haven't been to an orchard yet, there's still time. Get out there and do some apple picking.